I don't know why people have the name of their village on their CV.
A lot of Nigerian youths are unemployable.
You now have the name of your village, your local government, your town, your age.
The thoughts, opinions, and ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals participating in the conversation and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints or official stance of Leap Africa. The organization supports diverse perspectives and encourages critical thinking and open dialogue.
Hello there. Welcome to the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. My name is Joy Gbinedion and I have the privilege of being your host today. With me on the podcast, I have
SJB. Hello everyone, my name is Sarah Jobu and I'm super excited to be here.
We absolutely love having you here. And also with me is
Ahmed Umar. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you here, Ahmed. So according to the National Bureau of Statistics, the unemployment rate in Nigeria as at right now is 33.3%. And KPMG has projected that that could rise to 40.6%. A few people have said that, you know, apart from the failures of the government, that one of the other things responsible for that is something that they often say, a lot of Nigerian youths are unemployable. I have a problem with that statement, but before we get to the statement itself, it's a problem of employability. And that's why today on the podcast, we will be discussing employability. So I'd like to hear your opinion about what you think employability is, especially looking at the current context of the workforce in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, Sarah.
All right, thank you very much, Joy. So employability is the capacity of an individual, you know, to be able to gain and maintain a job. And beyond just gaining and maintaining a job or just having that technical skills or a BSc degree or a master's degree, you know, it also encompasses of your personal attributes, you know, your attitude. So that's why you see a lot of behavioral competencies coming to the fore when someone is trying to get a job. And so those are the things that employers are actually looking at now beyond your technical skills. So that is, you know, what employability, you know, means for me.
Fantastic. All right, Ahmed, would you like to add to that?
Well, yes. I think that describes employability in, you know, the sense of what it is. But also, you know, you can look at it from perspective of how desirable are you as somebody who is getting into the workforce. So if you are desirable, you have those skills that Sarah is talking about, you have the right attitude, you have all of that. So employability is just how would you be perceived in the workforce, how employers would see you. Yeah.
How would you be perceived in the workforce? The ability to not just get the job, but also maintain the job. So speaking about employability, you already spoke about the skills, you know, competencies. What are some of these skills and competencies, you know, that employers are looking out for when, you know, when they onboard employees?
Thank you very much, Joy. So I think most times as young people or candidates just focus on, okay, do I have the technical skills? But like I said, beyond that, you know, young people, I'm focusing on young people, but our candidates, you need to also try and build your soft skills, and we call them transferable skills. So even if you don't have a particular experience in an area, what are those transferable skills that you have that can make you thrive in another area? So like communication skills, are you very good in communication? Do you have writing skills? Do you have presentation skills? Are you able to work in a team? You know, employers are looking at that. So when they bring you into the organization, they know that you can actually thrive in that organization. Do you have adaptability skills? You know, sometimes we are caught up in, this is how I know how to do this. But are you able to tell an employer that if you bring me into your organization, I'm going to learn on the job, I'm going to grow on the job, I will get to understand your culture, your system, your structures, and thrive in it. So those are the kind of things that employers are actually looking for.
Adaptability skills, communication skills. Ahmed, are there a few other skills?
Yeah, I mean, a few other ones might be, you know, are you able to work in a team? You know, and I would stress communication skills because, you know, a lot of things could go wrong because you lack communication skills. And of course, adaptability is very important, like Sarah said. You know, where you are coming from, are you flexible to change? Mm-hmm. Are you able to adapt to organization's culture? You know, because the new environment and new teammates. So, for instance, you have to be flexible enough to say, hey, I'm in a new environment, this is how they behave here. And you know, as they say, when you are in your room, you do like romance. So
when you're in Rome, you act like the Romans. Fantastic. Okay, so let's take it down a notch, right? I'm sure that we were familiar with that statement that says that, oh, a lot of Nigerian youths are not employable. Mm. And we've mentioned some of these skills and competencies, you know, that make you desirable to employers. But my question is, as a potential employee, you know, how do you make these skills and competencies visible when you just have very limited interaction with the person who's trying to employ you? You know, your interview is for what, 15 to 30 minutes. How do you show that, oh, I have great communication skills, I can adapt to, you know, the culture of your organization and all of those things? I just have 15 minutes, I just have 30 minutes. Mm. You know, how do you convey those skills and competencies
yeah.
when you're trying to get a job?
Okay, I thought Sarah would go first, but anyway. So yes, and I think it starts even before the 15, 20 minutes call with maybe the recruiter. Of course, it should start from when you develop like your CV, for instance. You know, someone like me, I'm very particular about the alignment, the font. Do you maintain like a consistency in, you know, your font and all of that? So if you can present like your CV very well, it can give me the impression that, oh, if you do a document, if you are hired, if you are, you know, you do like a concept note of something, for instance, it's going to be well presented. That I can have that impression from your CV. Or, you know, some will say write a cover letter, for instance. And then cover letter, if you present it just anyhow, again, it might pass the wrong impression. Even you have not been able to speak to anybody at that point. So, and now, if there is a wrong impression, let's assume it's a wrong impression, before you come for like a physical or virtual interview, then you are on the losing side already. You need to now do exceptionally well to catch up, to change people's impression at that point. But if you already, you know, presented yourself very well, maybe through like CV and your presentation very good, and all the emails that you are sending before that time were presented and all, I think recruiters would, you know, feel like, okay, this looks professional, this, you know. And at that point, it might even be a wrong impression. You might not be as professional, but at least you're on a winning side already.
Yes.
Yes, and you don't. So at that point, if you are speaking to them, then of course
you already might have some advantage.
Advantage. So you already have some advantage. That's it.
Thank you so much, Ahmed. Yeah. You know, now that you mentioned CV, I remember an experience that I had. I'd gone to take, I think it was passport photographs, and this brother came that they should have him type his CV. And we type it, I say, Uncle, all these things I am putting in the session now. These things are not supposed to be on your CV, you know, and I think that that's a huge gap that needs to be filled. So Sarah, I want you to talk a bit about, you know, the essentials that should go on your CV. You know, people put things like date of birth, date of birth, marital status, I saw some interesting things. I saw some interesting things on that CV. I'm like, no, remove it. So I want you to tell us some of the things that are essential that needs to go on your CV, and some things that you need to remove. As you are listening like this, as you are watching like this, bring out your CV, remove it. You understand? And also beyond the CV, you know, some other things that people should look out for when they're trying to get a job.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joy. So I was just very happy when you're asking that question, because I don't know why people have the name of their village on their CV. You know, for recruiters, the first thing when we take up a CV, the first page of your CV tells me if I want to continue looking at the CV or not. So some of us have jargons on that first page. definitely your name should be there. You have no bio, a brief bio that tells who you are, what you can do, and the kind of organization that you want to work in, just selling yourself briefly already. You now have the name of your village, the local government, your town, your age. And just imagine if that job is like age specific, because sometimes employers can, you know, some bend some kind of rules. They feel that, okay, this person have the skills. Okay, the age doesn't matter. But you already tell them that you were born 1980.
Oh,
you know, which, you know, sometimes shouldn't be so. Mm-hmm. But for some entry-level roles, you know, like internship, you know, they require that. We see a lot of that. So age gap. So your age is there. Your, you know, marital status, the number of children.
I've seen that.
I have 3 kids. I've seen that.
Why?
I've seen that before. So I mean, so I believe that. So first, your the first page, just have a brief bio about yourself. Then just list out where you've worked. And it's very important to highlight your achievement. Don't just write your responsibility. I was the one that was asked to do this, prepare budget. I prepared the budget for. So as you're listing, you can have a part that says achievements on that job and responsibility. So the recruiter already knows that this person has the skills to do this job. They've done X, Y, Z. So they are very eager to meet you. But when it's just vague, they're not clear. And some people don't even list responsibility or achievement. They just go on to write the name of the place, or you see, okay, I think another one I just remembered now is, why do you have your secondary school there? You've done university. Okay, so you did BSc in this, and you see, you know, I went to this high school. It's not necessary.
Primary school, not
exactly. Primary school, but it's not a civil service job. But anyway, those are things that we shouldn't have in our CV. So your bio, your where you've worked, your achievement there, your responsibilities, put your skills, the things you can do, sell your soft skills there, sell your, you know, trainings you've gone for, so they know the technical skills that you have, you know, trainings, they even know that you're somebody that is very invested in learning. Mm-hmm. So they're not bringing someone that will just come and become obsolete at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things that, you know, future or prospective employees should highlight in your CVs.
Great. Fantastic. I like the fact that you mentioned trainings, right? And I'll come at it at an angle that you're probably not thinking about. So earlier when I talked about this statement, a lot of Nigerian youths are unemployable. I said I had a bit of a problem with that statement. If we're being honest, right, even with writing your CVs, selling yourselves, our education system as it is today does not provide the support that people need to be employable. So you find someone who's just been recruited into an organization and they cannot use Microsoft Word. They cannot use Excel. These are like basic, you know? And you're wondering, but you graduated from the university. Well, they probably didn't do assignments that, you know, necessitated them having those skills. They've never done presentations before. You know, all of those things. Our education system is lacking. Right. And so when we say that right off the back, oh, this person is unemployable, I then begin to think about, you know, growing up and I see my parents going for trainings, uncles that work with multinationals, you know, they're going for trainings that are sponsored by their organizations to the point where they become so skilled at these things, so proficient that even they are now training people. What role does the organization play, the employer play, in upskilling Nigerian youth? Because if we're being honest, it will take a lot, you know, to get to that point where off the back you're employable, where a majority of our young people come out of the university and they're employable. So what role does the organization play, you know, in upskilling young people, Sarah?
Okay, thank you very much, Joy. I think when you're even speaking about this, you talked about, you know, when we go to universities, we are not taught employability skills. We just go and study a particular course. Like, I studied history, you know. So I believe that for organizations, organizations should be invested in their people. expects people to grow on the job. You expect them to deliver on the job. So what provisions or resources can you make available for employees so that they can have access to trainings, they can have access to resources? And it does not even have to be. A lot of resources are out there. Free resources for people. So employers can actually encourage it. I know that right now in the world of work, a lot of employers pay for learning and development like we do at Leap Africa. So those are the kind of things that encourage employees to even stay longer in an organization. And also just speaking to another part of it, beyond employers, organization, as an employee, you need to own your own learning and development journey. It's yours. You are improving yourself. So even if you're giving your skills to this organization at this time, whatever knowledge that you have, it belongs to you. It stays with you for the rest of your life. So as an employee, you have to own your journey. You have to say, oh, this is what I want to do at this time. These are areas I want to improve myself. So even the employer will feel encouraged to want to invest in you. You know, so most times employers can say, oh, we want to, you know, take this particular employee for an MBA or something, you know, training, because they see a potential in you, because you're somebody that is very invested in learning and development. Mm-hmm. So I think employers should take that responsibility of training their people, upskilling them, giving them the resources financially or, you know, in any other way, having seminars. And as little as that, so you're improving your people, they're improving on the job, and it's also transferring to their output on the job. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation. Yeah. Employer is being, you're improving daily, you're improving, and the job, the organization is also doing better in terms of output. So,
yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. It starts with you, you know, as the employee, prospective employee, it begins with you. That learning and that developing yourself, developing your skills, you know, upskilling begins with you. And of course, the employers also have a role to play in this matter. So speaking about skills, right, we're in an era where everybody wants to join the tech industry. every corner you will see one tech bro, tech sis, you know. So Ahmed, I'd like to ask you this question. What are these skills that young people should be investing in at this point, right? And what are those industries that they should be looking out for? You know, when looking to upskill and also, you know, just get a job, what are the industries to look out for? What are the types of skills that you should be thinking about?
Oh, well, yes. I think, well, just permit me before I say that. When you talked about young people, you know, university and the gap that exists, right, in this skill, it's sort of like the gap that exists between university and the industry, which is basically that, you know, employability skills, those employability skills. Now, when I was in university, I have some, okay, I didn't realize early. In fact, probably I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life early enough. I was just in school because every other person was going to school. So, and then I was like, okay, I think by 300 level, I was having a realization, I have 2 more years to go. And I was wondering, okay, so what will I do? And from that time on, I started getting, so like some organization would come to campus, they would organize something like seminar, like Sarah said, they would organize. I would always be there, you know, they would give us one certificate. I didn't know the value of, you know, I was keeping those papers, a lot of certificates. And of course, it started building some form of, this thing is possible. So where I'm going is that education is one thing that university is providing in the core area where we are, you know, studying, but also the exposure that what is going on out there was there, you know. And that's why it's interesting that even a few months back, you know, Sarah and I were in UniOsun, you know, Leap Africa invited, and we went there to, you know, just tell them. And I saw that exercise as some form of exposure for the students, right? Mm-hmm. Let them know what is going on, what are the different ways they can improve themselves, even from Leap Africa's resources, our online learning and all of that. And I felt very, very, you know, just grateful for the opportunity to be able to share with people, because I can relate to that position where they are, you know, from my own experience. So now if we're talking about skills that people should build, I think also from my experience, and I'm not just saying it from like an industry expert or whatever, but from my personal experience, I feel like when I started thinking, oh, I don't want to practice what I studied, project management was the first thing that I stumbled upon. And I think even before project management, a skill that I have or an attribute that I have is curiosity. I'm always Googling things, just finding out. So I stumbled upon, I just saw in Ireland this thing, oh, they're discussing project management. And I'm like, okay. They said, oh, you can work anywhere if you have project management skills. I'm like, ah, this is nice now. Okay. I want to work in innovation and all of that. So, and I'm not studying tech, I'm studying building. So how do I make that cross? And then I studied, okay, what do I need to do? Which certification do I need to get? What training? And, you know, I just went with it like that. And then I got like a project management professional certification. And that was now what I was using to now look, you know, seek for job rather than my degree. I didn't even have my degree before I started using my project management certificate to look for job. And there are a lot of them like that, that you don't need to, you know, have even completed like your degree. A lot of people are doing like ACCA right from their undergraduate, ICANN right from their graduate, you know, a lot of different things. You want to be like a business analyst, there are certificates, programs, courses that you can take that are not dependent on, say, your, what's it called now, your discipline, what you are studying, for instance. So if, I think one thing that can help young people right from like university is exposure, number one. Mm. Know what is going on, know what mm-hmm. is possible, what you can do. Because a lot of them are there, they don't know. Hmm. Now, secondly, when you know what you know, the options that you have, now take that step to, you know, start early. So that is not when you have graduated, you are in NYC, and then a lot of people are bombarding you with different, you know, offers of opportunities to take on certificates mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. might not really matter. A lot yes. of people can relate to this, yes. that all those things, they are not really quality ones. But if you start from, like, say, your 200 level, you have like 2 years or 3 years to, you know, to develop those things alongside your core schoolwork. That's when you can really, you know, have leverage. You graduate, your CV is not just empty. Mm. You already have those things. And of course, I know Sarah wants to talk more about those things, but
fantastic.
that's my experience. Wow.
Thank you so much, Ahmed. Yeah. So you mentioned project management, business analysis.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that Sarah had mentioned is how these resources are out there.
Mm.
Literally,
yeah.
on our phones all day long.
Everywhere.
You can search for these things, mm. you know. So Sarah, are there other skills that you'd like to add and some other industries that young people should look out for?
So I think right now, AI is here. I just wanted to make that, you know, mention that. And I think it's very important that young people, like Ahmed said, just stay updated with what is happening. Mm. So, you know, some people have not even embraced it yet. They're like, oh, what is this? No, it doesn't make any sense. Embrace it and see how you can maximize it for your own good. Learn it, because that is actually where the future of work is going to. We're going to have more technological innovation. So it doesn't matter if you're not a techie person, but there are different areas where you can start learning and seeing how you can maximize, you know, these new trends that are coming up, you know, mm-hmm. across the world. And speaking about new trends, and I think that's one thing I really want to talk about, is sometimes we want to just stay with the knowledge that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're not open to learning new things. What is going on in US? See, it will help you become an international, you know, candidate, somebody that is fit to get any kind of job, any part of the world. You know, right now people can be in Nigeria, they're working in, you know, US. People are in US and they're working in Nigeria, so many remote jobs. So as young people, I'll say, stay updated with trends.
Mm.
Now they said the future of work is, you know, technology, is innovation. So what do you want to learn in this space? And also is, everything is, things are now automated. Remember when we were in school, there was a department that had to do with typing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They had typewriters. But who is using that right now?
Yeah.
You know, so things are outdated. So even if that's something that you learned, you can't say, oh, this is what I know.
Mm.
You have to be open to learning.
Yeah.
And I think also very important, I know I've spoken about this before, is soft skills.
Mm.
You know, we go to school, you know, you learn those hard skills, you become maybe a BSc holder in communications, you know, for me, history, Ahmed did building, that's amazing, you know, but what are those soft skills that you could learn? Because you can go to an interview and they see a good CV, because your CV gets you through the door, then you go, you can't present it.
Mm.
You can't put yourself out there. You can't tell them what you can do. So it looks like the person on the CV and the person speaking are two different people. So build your communication skills. Build your, you know, adaptability skills. Build your people skills. Emotional intelligence. That is what people are looking at. You know, ability to work in a team. So they know that, okay, even if you don't have the experience, but like Ahmed said, you are taking some trainings outside your core area. So even if I'm done with school, as a young person, I said, oh, I have ACCA. Some young people have CIPM from university. So when you come to an employer, you tell them, okay, I have this, and I also have, when you're speaking, they can already hear you, that you have good communication skills, you have those other transferable skills, so they know that you can thrive in that particular workplace. So I think these are things that are very, very important for young people to possess, like right now. Don't
fantastic. Fantastic. You know, yeah. Some of the things that we're saying now, I wish that we were exposed,
mm-hmm.
you know, honestly. To conversations like this. True. It would have been easier.
True.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. It would have been easier. So before we go, right, I'd like to ask if you have any example of someone who was once referred to as unemployable, you know, but they were able to take steps that then moved them from that space of being unemployable to being employable.
I'll say me.
I was going to say me.
I'll say me. Me. So if nothing inspires you from this podcast, I hope this does. So like I said, I studied history and diplomacy. And when I came out of school, I was just wondering, what will I do with this? Because at first it was law, and later, you know, the school just gave me that and I studied it. But though I loved history, and people say, oh, you can become an historian. I say, no, it's diplomacy I want. But where are the historian jobs? I could not say it. Where are the, you know, diplomatic jobs that I could also do, or work in an embassy? That was the vision, but I couldn't get it. And also at that time, what was in vogue was maybe come and work in a civil service. But I knew that that's not what I wanted to do, because when I see our parents, it's just you go visit them, you see them gisting, they sign out, and they go home. But that's not what I wanted for myself. So, but I had no skills. I had nothing. So the first thing I did is I went to a computer training school.
Yeah.
I did not know how to use a laptop very well when I was doing university. Really, I didn't know Excel, Word, nothing. Just the little typing and everything that you just, because then you just go to a computer center. Mm-hmm. And universities don't make it compulsory. If you go to a state public school, they don't make it compulsory to have those, you know, things. So I knew that I needed to learn those things, because at least employer will ask for it. So I said, maybe I could start from admin. And I started from there. And then I moved to Lagos. I remember my first job. They said, okay, can you answer phone calls? I said, very well. They said, okay, let's try you. And I took out my phone. I said, hello, welcome to XYD Organization. Happy to have you here. Please, what's your name? My name is Sarah Dumbo. Like, okay, you can do this. So already I had the communication skills. You know, I built that over time. And I could use the laptop now very well. So from there, I met this colleague, and she was like, oh, she has a master. Like, yeah, master's. Okay. You know, she had done some certifications. I said, certifications? Okay. I said, which one? And she said, oh, Sarah, if you're interested, you know, there's this thing, HRO. So then our HRO came to me, and she was like, oh, she said, I'm very good with the admin things. Would I like to come to HR? I was like, okay. This HRO thing, and you mentioned it. And I had to, you know, apply for a master's then, because I knew that I wanted to build my technical skills in this area beyond experience. So I started learning, going to school and working. At the time, my office was in Apapa, so I would go from the island to Apapa. From there, I'll go to Unilag. It was, if you know Apapa then, yes. The traffic and dust, it was really, 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 really tiring. But I just had to do that, because I know that for me to grow in this space, I need to build myself. So yeah. I did that, you know, and little by little, I started learning these things, doing the certification. You know, there are so many free resources, like I said, signed up for CIPM and everything. And as I was doing that, I was also building my network. So you start meeting people in this space from school, from, you know, my professional certification programs. I started meeting people, started building networks that, you know, so I was growing like that in this space. So from someone that had no clue about human resources, that just was doing history and learning about, you know, the Borno Empire, and everything. But, you know, I started learning about new things and I found myself here. You know, fantastic. So I believe that it doesn't matter what you studied. It doesn't matter how long you spent in school. You know, you can do anything. I learned a particular thing and I decided to change my career, you know, in another area. So I believe that it doesn't, you just need to be invested in learning. I think that's very important. You must be somebody that is open to learning and relearning. So it means that whatever I know before, just wipe it off because I want to learn new things. And also just stay up to date, like I said. I think that's very, very important. What are people looking for right now? And another thing I also did at that time is that I got to learn about LinkedIn. So I just built my profile there and I started looking for jobs, you know. And funny thing is, I got my job with Leap Africa from LinkedIn. I just saw a post. It was very interesting, you know. So you have to be someone that's very interested in building your network.
Yeah.
Look at that. They say your network is your network. But anyway, So I believe that, you know, I hope this story definitely inspires someone that, you know, you can move from anything and, you know, continually improve yourself on the go.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you. Okay, Ahmed. You also have your personal story.
When you asked, I was going to say, oh, that's me. Because there are a lot of, you know, like disadvantage. When I looked at myself, you know, earlier, I didn't get into university early. I had to waste some time just trying to get into university. But before then, I think one thing that would really help anybody is to stay curious. Just stay curious about things, because now a lot of things are out there but no one will come and tell you, right? You have your phones and all of that, you have your Google there. What are you searching for? What are you know, just stay curious about things. You hear this thing somewhere, you don't have the full information, you can type it in your Google search bar and then dig in, research. Oh, you hear about an organization, research. So I feel like for me, having, you know, spent like 2 years not getting to university, so like a third year I tried, and then I think it was like a fourth year that I actually now got in. And at that time, I was not even interested in like anything, any course at all. Just let me go into university because my mates were going to university, so let me. So well, I was, you know, in school and my grades were not good. And I think my 300 level, like I said earlier, I started thinking, oh, this thing, 2 years to go, I will have to go and work. Oh, hey, this work, how do I do? What do they do at work and all those things? Because it's not being taught, right? So, I mean, and it's like in my own curious tells, hey, what would happen? So I went for like a 400 level IT second semester, and then I spent like 5 months on construction site. And every day I go back home with headache. And I was like, no way. There is no way I am doing this for the rest of my life. So, and with that curiosity again, I started, you know, just searching. How do I do? How do I do? Because I felt like I was really in a desperate mode at that time. I had just 1 year to graduate. And I stumbled upon, you know, like the Netherlands thing I talked about. And, you know, my IT boss, shout out to him, he paid for my training.
Wow.
Yeah, he paid for my, you know, project management training, the compulsory training you have to do before you go and do like the exam. And that gave me the, you know, the what was it called now, motivation to, you know, after the training, called my dad. It's like, hey, my boss paid for my training. Well, now exam is this amount I have to pay. And then, of course, he was also happy to hear that, oh, my boss paid for training. Of course, exam, I'll pay. And then I wrote the exam in like 2 weeks. I said, you are now a PMP. I was so happy. But even at that point, I didn't know how valuable it was. So I just had, and then I thought, okay, if this thing is as valuable as people are saying, because people were telling me that it was really valuable, then let me start using it to apply for a job instead of my degree that I've not even finished. I have my final exams coming, so I've not even written it. So I said, okay, I'm going to be sending this out to people that I can find online. So I started going online. My friends that were more enlightened than me, started looking at the friends that they make on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I would see, where is this person? What does it do? So I'll connect with them. So somebody accepted, and then I texted, hey, I need to talk to you and looking for an internship. And the person just sent me his email and said, send your concerns to this email. And that was it for me. But even to even mention that my grades were not good, so I was on a 2-2, and I was even thinking, there's first class, there is second class offer. How do I compete with these guys? I think there was some form of self-awareness there as well that, okay, I'm not going to be able to compete with these guys in, like, even if, you know, PNG is recruiting or something, somebody comes to, it's coming to campus, come and recruit, I'm not even going to be there. But I want to be able to, you know, pitch something to someone that this project management, I know it to this extent. I have a certification that proves that. And then I started doing that. And I feel like that was it. And again, for me, I think if you stay curious, it should show in your work as well. Even when I got the opportunity, I was trying my possible best to see that I am not a disappointment to myself. Sure. And even to the people that, you know, took a bet on me to say, hey, we are giving you this internship. So I was taking on tasks or even projects that were beyond my understanding. I was learning on the go. Like, I would stay late, not because somebody is asking me to stay late, but because I need to catch up. I need to, you know, I'm working in a place that I didn't study for, but I'm, you know, trying to apply my skills and everything. So on the go, I was researching, reading, doing everything all in one. So I feel like if you are not talking about someone today who is interested in, like, looking for a job, or either based on what they studied or not, I think it would be number one. My number one advice would be to be curious enough and take action on that, your curiosity. Yeah, like, look for things, look for organization, find out, have a leverage, like, think about what could be, you know, what is that thing that you can pitch to someone, that your own unique advantage. Like, for me, my class, I got the PMP. I was the first to get it. In fact, in my old class, even in my old faculty, then I got the PMP. And the thing is that it improves my own level of exposure, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people then didn't even pay attention to it. They didn't know they were doing their own thing. And I was not even top. I don't even know my number in the number of people that are in my class, maybe my grade. I don't know where I fall. Maybe it's top 10. I don't even know. So, but everybody knew. Some people even start calling me, hey, PMP, PMP, PMP. It's just something that was interesting, right? And it was something that I started pitching to different people and saying, hey, I can. I even took training on campus. Even before I graduated, I took trained some people. Somebody invited me and said, hey, you're a PMP. I heard you're a PMP. So there's a training that's coming up. Can you take some? Yeah, I did. And, you know, from that point, I felt like some of my even colleagues were influenced. Mm. And they started taking, I think, at least 4. Because we still have, like, a WhatsApp group. At least 4 people have a PMP now, right? Wow. From there. We used to say, hey, another PMP minted today. So, again, you know, all these skills, certification, but, of course, stay curious.
Thank you so much, Ahmed. Thank you so much, Sarah. You have both shared very valuable information today. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And to our watchers, our viewers, and listeners, you have heard it all. What is your unique selling point? What is your unique advantage? You need to take your life in your hands, because trust me, in this society that we're in, you have to do it yourself. And the resources that you need, they're out there. You know, apart from your hard skills, build your soft skills. Network. You don't have to meet the people at the top, right? Start from your circle. Somebody knows somebody that knows somebody. Network, build yourself, and trust me, you'll be a candidate of choice very, very soon. Thank you for watching today's episode of our Youthful and Useful podcast. And until we come your way again, I remain Joy Gbinedion.
I am Sarah Jambu.
And Ahmed Omar. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching. Stay youthful and useful.